A Playlist Original.
Welcome back to another episode of Unfiltered Adventures. I'm Steven.
And I'm Giselle.
And we are also known as the Lover's Passport. And today we are going to be bringing you through our favorite islands in the Caribbean. We have been to quite a few of them. We're going to be talking through all the ones we've been to. We can't obviously say anything about the ones we haven't been to, but we're going to be ranking them all on kind of a scale from least favorite to favorite, because there were definitely some that we absolutely loved and that we went for, even on our mini moon, and others where we probably will never go back to them.
Hopefully.
Yeah, and I feel like every single one we're going to kind of rank and tell you why we rank them this way, thinking about like the beauty of the place first off, because we got asked like, what is the reason that you like traveling, or how do you pick where you go? And honestly, I feel like the views,
the vibes, and the food, of course.
Yeah, but that's taking us to the second one. So beauty, food was another one. The next one was culture of the area, because even though it is all just in the Caribbean, the culture of these places are
very different.
Yeah, dramatically different. The next one that we're going to be talking about is accommodations in the area, and then price. How expensive is it to travel there? Because like, once again, even though it is all in the same vicinity, the pricing varied quite a bit, I feel like, from place to place.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it definitely depends on the place's economy and like government and structure, and whether or not, you know, some of the islands in the Caribbean still are like managed by foreign governments. So it all plays a role into all of it.
Yeah, but anyway, the ones that we have been to so far are the Bahamas. Was that our first one that we went to together?
Yeah, that was on a cruise back in 2021.
Yeah, so that was one of the first places we went. The Dominican Republic is next. That was one of our more recent trips, and we're actually going back there this year, which we're super stoked
different
about.
Different part. We're going to the touristy part this time, but we'll get more into that later.
That'll be interesting to do a podcast episode later this year and compare the touristy part of like Punta Cana to the north side of the island where we went, because we absolutely loved the North Island, but I think that reason that we liked it so much was because it was so far out of the way and got you into more of the local feel of the Dominican Republic.
It was very out of our comfort zone, but we'll talk about it when we get to there.
Yeah. And then the next one was British Virgin Islands. This one we also did on a cruise earlier, although you had been there previously.
I had been to both Bahamas and BVI before with my family in the past. The nice thing about that is you don't need, or British Virgin Islands is different, but like with Bahamas, you don't need an extra passport. So like,
that is true.
If you are a US citizen and you're looking for somewhere warm and beautiful that isn't like Hawaii, then you can just go to the Bahamas, which is nice.
Yeah.
But yeah, I had been there before.
I feel like I need to get hip with the lingo. You and all of our friends see, oh, the BVIs, and I'm like, what is BVI?
It's
like
easier to say. I don't know. But it just flows off the tongue. The British Virgin Islands, when we did them together, all we did was Tortola. So keep that in mind, because we've only been to one of the British Virgin Islands together.
Yeah, I feel like that is important. The next one that we went to was Aruba. And this one is it's in the Caribbean, so we're going to talk about it. But technically, it's like right off the coast of Venezuela. So on a few of the lists, depending on what list you look at, it doesn't say it's in the Caribbean.
It's South America, but it's not. But it is,
but
it's not.
We're going to talk about it in this
episode. We technically have not been to South America yet, which is wild. How have we not been to South America? That's going to change this year.
Yeah, we'll get there definitely. Well, I mean, we want to go to Patagonia, so that.
Yeah, we've canceled that trip twice now, so we'll get there eventually.
And then the next one is going to be Jamaica, which is what most people, I think of when they think of the Caribbean. I heard that the Jamaica is the most popular island in all of the Caribbean to go to.
What?
Which I thought was crazy.
Wow.
That is nuts.
I have some opinions on that.
And then we're also going to be talking about the Mexican Riviera, including like Cancun, Tulum, and Playa del Carmen.
Because that's technically the Mexican Caribbean.
Yes. Like,
is it the Caribbean proper?
No.
No. But like, it is hugging the Caribbean Sea, you know.
Yeah, so those are all the spots that we're going to be talking about. I think total the Caribbean makes up 13 different countries within it and thousands of different islands, but these are the ones that we're going to be talking about.
We'll have more later in the year, like Bonaire and Curacao and all those other good ones in that area, but for now, most of these we actually did last year, with the exception of like the Bahamas and BVI. I feel like we did all of them last year.
We spent a lot of time last year in the Caribbean,
which was not in the bingo cards. That was not between Spain and the Caribbean islands. I feel like we had spent like a solid month in each.
Yeah, that's very
which
true.
We did not originally plan on. It's funny because when you're a travel creator, you plan out the trips that you want to go on usually, but you just have no idea what your clients are going to be like for that year. And we've been doing this now. This is our fourth year of doing this. And sometimes you think, oh, like this year, for example, we're like, oh, we're going to do like this giant 50 states road trip. But we could just have these clients pop out of nowhere and be like, hey, want to go to Antarctica? And we'd be like, yeah. So then we drop all of what we thought we were going to do and then
yeah, I feel
pivot.
Like if you asked us where we're going to go this year at the beginning of 2024 and then at the end of 2024, we actually said where we went, it would be
very different.
Dramatically different.
But that's always fun. Keeps the job fun.
Yeah. And I'm interested. Should we do it as so we start with our least favorite and then go to the end? But we didn't talk about this beforehand because remember, Unfiltered Adventures is unscripted. So we don't really sit down and talk about this before we go into the episode. Should we say your least favorite than my least favorite? I feel like they'll probably be similar. And then work our way up? Or
I guess
should we
so.
Just target
No, I feel
one?
Like let's just target them because it makes it a little more centralized. We like to be organized
here. All
right, here.
Well, which country was your least favorite we visited in the Caribbean, Giselle?
I know this is going to be very shocking to you, but I'm going to have to say Jamaica.
Oh, man, guys, do we have a story for you?
This
with
was
Jamaica?
Just the most, okay, Jamaica was one of those countries where it wasn't really on our radar. Obviously, we eventually would love to hit like at least 100 countries or, you know, every country in the world. That'd be a pretty crazy goal.
At least once.
At least 100 countries would be rad. I'll pause here while you turn off your do not disturb.
Sorry, guys. Too many text messages coming in. All right.
Okay, resuming. What was I saying?
You were saying how we don't need to go to every country.
Oh, yes.
I mean, that would be the goal, would be to get to like, I think a nice number to get to would be 100 countries.
Yeah,
if we can
I feel
get
like
to
that's a good amount.
That'd be awesome.
But anyway, so paid trip to Jamaica. We're not going to turn that down. Client of ours, we've worked with several times. So we're like, okay, we'll go to Jamaica. We went to Montego Bay and that's all we like stayed in. We did not go over to like Negril Beach or like any of the beautiful waterside, which was unfortunate. And I think maybe if we had gone to the more like pretty side, it would be a different story. But just for our experience, we were there for what, 5 days in Montego Bay?
Yeah, we were there for 5 days. And I feel like that is important that what you said is like, these are all our experiences. So if we had gone and done a different experience and maybe it wasn't for work, would we have a different answer of saying
maybe
Jamaica was our least favorite? Maybe. But I feel like it really wasn't like the views or like the cost or anything, because like we said, we weren't paying for things in Jamaica because it was a job. So can't really speak to the cost of how expensive it is among a lot of these. But we can speak a lot to the culture
and our experience
and
with the people.
Yeah.
And keep in mind, these are all our opinions. If you love Jamaica, woohoo.
More power
go
to
you. But yeah, we just did not have this experience. And every time we've hinted at doing this podcast episode on our page, everyone's like, what happened with Jamaica? Why don't you like Jamaica? So this is us spilling the tea. Basically, just since we landed at the airport, honestly, the airport wasn't as bad. I know a lot of people say the airport's a pain in the butt when it comes to customs, but
I mean, the customs was busy though.
It was really busy.
What would you say, 45 minutes to get through the customs line?
Yeah, but it wasn't terrible. And for reference, we were working with an all-inclusive hotel out there. The hotel itself was beautiful. Loved the hotel. But like from the get-go, like our taxi driver over there was wild. He immediately, like, we get in the car and we're like just chatting small talk, and immediately one of the first things he asks us is like, yo, do you guys smoke? Do you guys like weed? Like, and we're like, okay, that sounds like stereotypical Jamaica. And we're like, no, it's okay, like we don't want any. And he literally starts trying to like sell us drugs on the way to the hotel.
It was crazy. He's like, well, if you don't like weed, I got this and I got this. And I was like, bro, you were like a professional taxi driver. Like, what is happening?
And
right,
professional
now?
Taxi driver was going at least 100 miles an hour on the freeway. Like, I thought I was going to die just immediately.
I asked him, like, what language do you guys speak out here? Because if you've ever been to Jamaica, like a lot of the people out there, everyone speaks English, but it's such a heavy accent.
It's like a dialect.
Where it almost doesn't sound like English. What I heard from people was they don't finish a lot of their words. So like when the Jamaican people were talking to other Jamaican people and we know English, we could not understand 50% of what they were saying, I feel like. So when we were in the car, I was like trying to make like small talk, and he, I don't know, just very rude right off the bat.
Well, Steven kind of sounded like not ignorant, but it was just the weirdest interaction. He's like, oh, like what language are you speaking? What dialect are you speaking? And he was like, English. And Steven was like, oh, I feel dumb.
Yeah, I don't know. The whole time, it was just, he was like swerving in and out of cars. Definitely one of like the most unsafe taxi drivers that I've
ever had. I wouldn't say unsafe. I'd say unhinged.
Well, I feel like, he was just zooming in and out of everyone. It was
yeah,
crazy.
Was speeding, offering us drugs. That was our first impression of getting into Jamaica.
And then we got to the hotel. Hotel was stunning. Like, if you're talking about accommodations in Jamaica, I feel like that is one thing. All the hotels are all really inclusive. Nice. But the reason they make them like that is because we heard that it was very, very unsafe in Jamaica. When we were at the hotel, we were going on an excursion, and the excursion was maybe a half mile away. It would have taken us 10, 15 minutes to walk there. And as we were getting ready to leave, the hotel concierge at the front was like, whoa, what are you doing?
They
were
like, don't leave the property without like a guide or anything like that.
Yeah, and they said you need a taxi driver. And we were like, no, we'll just walk. And they were like, no, you need a taxi driver. Like, it's unsafe for you to walk from here to there. And it's literally a half mile from
any other place we've been in, like, that is stereotypical dangerous, you know, that people say, oh, like Mexico is so dangerous. Like, we've walked around Mexico at night like several times and never felt unsafe. Whereas in Jamaica, like, they would not let us leave the property.
Yeah, it was
so
it was crazy.
We never had that experience before. And like, the excursion was cool. It was to a bioluminescent lagoon. So that was probably the highlight of the trip. That was cool.
I would say it was definitely the highlight of the trip. And then when we were there, should we talk about like the food when we were trying to get into these restaurants and such?
Oh my gosh. Okay, but that was a hotel issue. That wasn't like a Jamaica as a country issue. The one thing about like working with hotels is when you sign the contract, you're never really sure like what type of service you're going to get, especially you would think at like a 5-star hotel. Like, you'll learn that 5 stars means different things in different places.
Very
like
true.
5 stars in the US is not the same as 5 stars in Mexico or in Jamaica, or, you know, so on and so forth. And it depends what kind of 5-star rating it is. Like, is it a Forbes 5-star or is it a regular 5-star? Who's giving the rating? And as someone, I used to work at a Forbes 5-star hotel in college. I worked at the Belmont El Encanto in Santa Barbara, and it was like one of the only Forbes 5-star hotels in California at the time. Now there's a few more. But like, the level and caliber of service that you get at a Forbes 5-star is insane.
Mm-hmm.
It's like when we were talking about in season 3, episode 1 about French Polynesia, like Four Seasons, Bora Bora, like St. Regis, Bora Bora, like style of luxury. That is what a Forbes 5-star should give you. This was a 5-star, not in that sense. But like we said, the room was great. The property was beautiful. But we did have a few just like weird service things happen where anytime you tried to go to a restaurant, it's like an all-inclusive. And so your food's all included. But we were trying to make reservations to go to the restaurant. And theoretically, you shouldn't even need reservations because it's an all-inclusive. But, you know, here we are.
When we first got there, too, we walked up to the concierge and we're like, all right, can we make some reservations for the restaurant?
We just got here.
Like, literally had been there maybe 30 minutes, checked in. And they were like, oh, there's no reservations for the whole week. And we were like,
What? We're literally supposed to eat here every meal. And we were working for the hotel. Like, nobody knew we were working for the hotel. And even so, like, once we told them we were working for the hotel, nothing. They're like, sorry. Okay,
yeah,
cool.
That's
good to know, because that's going. We left this hotel a lot of feedback.
And then I feel like the worst thing that we have to talk about is picture us leaving the hotel room.
We're going down to the pool.
Yeah, we're walking down to the pool, and I forgot my sunglasses, and I was super bright outside.
And we forgot sunscreen.
Yeah,
that was the other thing.
So we were like, okay, let's just walk back to the room. We'd been gone maybe 5 minutes. So on our way back up to the room, in the hallway, we look, and we're like, is our door open right now? And we had closed the door when we were leaving, and we walk in, and there was a person in our bathroom of the 5-star hotel room washing their face with our towels. And we were like,
oh, it was such an awkward, uncomfortable experience. I don't think I've ever had more of an uncomfortable experience in a hotel in my entire life.
That was definitely top weirdest
moment. We're just
moment.
All like, you know, like the Spider-Man meme where you're all like pointing at each other like, the that we were all kind of just staring at there like, what is happening right now? And he just like profusely apologized and like left the room. But it was just this like random employee. And like there they have butlers. So you're supposed to like get this like butler service. But like I was saying, it's not like St. Regis Bora Bora butler style service. Like the butlers were mid.
To be fair, we only saw our butler like on the last day of our second to last day of our 5-day visit. And when we were there, we asked him for more sparkling water.
Every day. Yeah. Never got it.
For 5 days, never once got it. So anyway, we could go. We got quite a few countries to go through. But Jamaica.
It was not our favorite.
Least favorite, in our opinion.
It was just the most weird, uncomfortable experiences we had last year while traveling, I think.
Yeah. All right. Should we... What's next on the list? Second least favorite.
Oh, I got to go. Okay.
Let's see. We have the Bahamas, Dominican Republic, British Virgin Islands, Aruba, and the Mexican Riviera.
I'm going to go say British Virgin Islands.
This might also be because we just haven't had a lot of experience there, to be fair.
We already pre-disclaimed this. This is just from our personal experience. We spent different amount of time in different countries. So this is all just like us ranking for shits and gigs. No real criteria here.
Is this where we went and swam with the pigs or was that the Bahamas?
No, that was the Bahamas. Okay, British Virgin Islands, we went out on a yacht sailing, which was super rad, and went out to some islands for snorkeling. The snorkeling was great. I honestly didn't have anything bad to say about the British Virgin Islands except for they're just really small.
Yeah,
there's not like a ton to do there. So
if you're looking to go on a vacation and just sit there and do nothing, which I feel like is totally fine. We don't do that because that's not necessarily our favorite type of travel. But if you're just looking to chillax the all-inclusive, I feel like that would be good. I don't think we have anything really bad to say about the British Virgin Islands. It's just not the best. Yeah. It just wasn't our favorite.
And out of all of these countries and like places that we're talking about, that would not be my first pick to go relax on the beach.
Very true.
So... But yeah, we went to Tortola and there's this really cool area called, I think it's the Baths, right?
Baths. Yeah, I remember the Baths. It's like this crazy spot.
It's like a slot. It almost looks like a slot canyon, right?
A slot canyon with water under and you can go float and you get like these beautiful light rays that pop into it. Our friend Trent and Sarah from Rio Travelers, they went on one of the excursions to visit there, but the excursion was all sold out for us. So we didn't have the opportunity to go there and experience it, but it looked amazing. I think when we go back eventually, probably on another cruise, then we'll spend some time there. Do we know anyone besides, unless you're going for like a yacht that just went?
I don't think so. I really feel like that is just like a cruise destination.
Yeah.
Like the majority of people going there are going on cruises.
Or if you're doing like a multi-island hopping trip in the Bahamas, you'll make a stop in BVI. Look. I said BVI.
I know. Yeah, our friends Jake and Kaylee, Globe Wanderers, I think they did a trip there, but they were working with like a sailing yacht company.
Yeah,
so same thing. Like if you're popping around a ton of the islands, I don't think I would exclusively go to BVI, but I would like make it a part of an island hopping itinerary.
Yeah, that's a great... I think that's why it's so low. It's not... We wouldn't want to go there for the whole trip. It would be like a pit stop, a spot on a road trip, but it would be a yacht trip.
Not a bad thing. I'll take a yacht trip.
Next, what would we go to? Aruba, Dominican Republic, Bahamas, Mexican Riviera.
All right. I think I'm going to go with Bahamas next.
Oh, okay.
Okay. And I feel like, honestly, for the rest of these, there's not much I disliked about them.
It's just ranking.
It's just
I feel like we should say our experience.
Yeah.
From now, instead of least favorites, I feel like this is the next best.
Yeah. Okay.
I feel like it's a better way to think about it.
So for the Bahamas, the water is so blue. I feel like the Bahamas and the Florida Keys, if they count for like the Caribbean area, were some of the most blue water ever.
I totally agree.
In a top 10 ranking of where we've been around the world where there's super blue water, like Nassau and the Bahamas definitely had some of the best water. They had a really cool like underwater statue that you could go out and snorkel to at this national park that we went out to. They have like Atlantis, and I know Atlantis is like, you know, touristy, whatchamacallit, like tourist trap, but honestly, like I went to that one a while ago on a cruise with my family and we had a great time. I was like 17 or something at the time.
Yeah, I feel like I would definitely pick to go to the Bahamas over going to like Virgin Islands or Jamaica if I just wanted to go to a five-star resort or experience the sand? Because I feel like that's really the thing to experience in the Bahamas, and why the water's so blue is it's so sandy. Like, they have that beautiful,
like, white sand. Almost sand, yeah,
that just reflects and makes all the water look incredibly,
like,
blue.
St. John, St. Thomas, St. Martin were all ones that we went to, and Nassau, and I'm just thinking, like, they have some incredible scuba diving out there, amazing snorkeling. The beaches are perfect for just sitting on the beach and relaxing. The drivers are a little crazy on some of the islands, yeah. But I really have enjoyed every time I've gone to the Bahamas, which I think has been about 3 times.
And that is also where you drive on the opposite side of the road.
But the steering wheel is on our
side. Correct
side. Yeah, it's really weird.
I remember that was the most jarring thing. We got off the cruise ship and we really wanted to go to the sculpture gardens that Giselle was talking about. And we were like, okay, let's rent a car. We'll get over there. But it was so funky having your steering wheel on the opposite side, and I'm sorry, the same side, but driving on the opposite, yeah, side of the road. It was obviously because they had British influence, but it was very interesting to see.
Steven's got, like, he's driven in every situation at this point, like wrong side of the road, other side of the driver's seat.
There's so
mix.
Many.
Yeah,
I feel
he's
like
done
you have to.
Stick shift, automatic. He's done everything. But that is honestly a hack. If you are on a cruise ship, renting your own car near the cruise port and then driving off and doing your own excursions, I feel like that's a great way when you're doing Caribbean cruises to get around and not spend a ton of money on excursions that you don't want to pay for.
Yeah, I totally agree. I feel like when I'm thinking Bahamas too, when it comes to the food was like very mid. I feel like it's basically like U.S.
regular food,
just,
yeah,
bringing over, like, when I think of burgers or like potatoes, hot dogs, like that's the type of stuff. They're not known for having anything.
Like,
I know for Jamaica, well, they're known for jerk chicken, but we weren't.
It was okay.
We weren't the best. We've had better jerk chicken outside of Jamaica.
If you like fish, good stuff. And
true,
this whole region, like, I think all the fish in all of these different places was really, really fresh and good. And all the ceviches and all those, like, related dishes, all fantastic.
Yeah, but Bahamas, I feel like I would go there if I was looking for the chill spot. Out of all the spots that we've listed so far, if I just wanted to go and sit on a resort and enjoy the beach, get a good tan on, I feel like it's a great spring break destination.
Yeah.
Or even, like,
yeah,
if you're a honeymooner, but you're looking to be a little bit more
budget.
Like, that is a great thing about Bahamas, is it is very cost effective for how far you can, your money will go. Unless you're trying to do, like, jet skis and rent a big yacht, your,
yeah,
money can go
lot
pretty
to do.
Far.
There's a lot to do there. And you don't need the passport if you're a U.S. citizen. So that is, I feel like, is an appealing thing. I feel like if you're a family looking to go on a tropical vacation that's not too far from the U.S., then you're going to want to choose Bahamas.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I think we'll probably go there when we have kids for one of their, like, when they're super young. I feel,
yeah,
like for kids, the water is very warm. There, you don't have to worry about, I feel like it's pretty
predators.
Safe, too.
Yeah.
It's very safe. At least where we went, it felt very, very safe. And I think all the hotels and the communities do a good job because they know tourism is such a thriving part of their economy, where they protect a lot of the beaches and keep people off them.
Yeah, I agree. So that's kind of it for Bahamas. I feel like
Dominican Republic, we have Aruba, and we have the Mexican Riviera.
Okay.
Which one are we? And we did all of these within the last year.
I think I'm going to go. Oh, this is hard because these three are honestly some of my favorite trips we did last year.
Yeah.
But I think I'm going to go with.
She's thinking. I
think I'm going to go with Dominican.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah.
I think I was going to pick Dominican too. So I'm happy we're on the same wavelength.
For Dominican, we went to primarily Samana and Cabarete. And these are the most northern parts of the island. We did not go to Punta Cana, whatever it is.
We will be going there later.
We will be going
later,
there this
so
year. So we will
another episode.
Have another comparison. But we went to the non-touristy part, which I think I really enjoyed for that reason. It was not the insanely blue water that Punta Cana has,
mm-hmm,
but we did a lot more. Like, they have a ton of waterfalls and, like, canyoning and these beautiful rivers, like, untouched caves, like, where we went, there were no crowds.
It was insane. And like, I felt like we were on Pirates of the Caribbean and we just had showed up on this deserted island. When G said there was no one around, there was literally
no one around.
I felt like when we were there, everyone was so busy with the tourism things they were doing that they didn't take too much time to, like, go and explore some of these national parks that we got to visit, which was a really cool piece. I feel like out of all the spots we've talked about so far, the Dominican Republic in this area had the most to do.
It had the most to do, and it had the least amount of people. Like, it is definitely one of those hidden gems, and I definitely think it will be an up-and-coming spot in the next 5 years.
Yeah, 5 to 10 years, I think it'll be booming.
And I think they're not prepared for that yet, at least in like other areas. But I think it was a crazy stat of like 80 or 85% of people that visit Dominican Republic only go to Punta Cana, which is nuts. And honestly, I get it, because driving there is crazy bonkers. I think that's the trend among all of these places, with the exception of Aruba. I think everyone drives like maniacs in the Caribbean.
Well, it wasn't even like, I feel like here you can say everyone drives like maniacs, but specifically here, you just have to, it's like you're like playing Mario Kart and you're dodging bananas, walking people across the thing. Like, think of Mario Kart
and 10,000 obstacles,
just throwing shells at you on every single corner. Like, that is what driving
people,
in,
bikes.
Yeah, it was just insane.
Skateboards, like,
and we
rain.
Did a lot of driving at night, which was made it 10 times harder.
But
as well,
the roads in the DR were amazing.
This,
like,
is true.
They were very well kept up. And you'll notice you actually have to go through a ton of toll roads there. And make sure you bring cash for those, because we didn't know that when we landed. And we only took out like a certain amount of cash. So definitely know that DR, especially if you're not going to Punta Cana and you're going elsewhere, it's a very cash heavy society still. But yeah, the roads were really nice. The drivers were cuckoo.
Yeah, this
but,
is crazy.
Once you kind of like learn that, honestly, we drive around in Los Angeles and it's very similar, just with more obstacles. It's less honking,
it's
honestly.
It's good practice for, I feel like driving in LA is good practice for driving most places
in
the world.
Yes, because you're...
What would it be like if you were like from Wyoming or like Montana and that was your only...
Oh my gosh.
You're only used to one lane road. Well, I guess they have one lane roads all over there, but you don't have to deal with all the crazy aggressive people cutting you off and homeless people walking in the middle of the road and just all the nuts.
All the like stray dogs and cats too. That was another one. Anyways, so like driving does make it a little more difficult to explore on your own. And where we were, nobody spoke English. Like, nobody. And we do not speak Spanish, which we are working on. We're definitely that making that a priority. I think honestly that's why we haven't done a lot of South America yet, because we really want to make sure that we are at least somewhat competent in Spanish. Why I took French in high school for 4 years, you tell me.
Well, because you thought you were going
to
go.
I thought I was
going
to move to Europe.
Life.
Yes.
Yeah.
I was going to go find a British man and settle abroad and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. I feel like she, before this whole trip, before she met me and I was like, let's go hike mountains, I feel like she had a very separate.
I was a city gal.
Dream for what her life was. She wanted to move to London and travel over Europe and be a PR person. And like,
I want to work in movie studios, Warner Brothers, all that kind of stuff. Yeah. It was very different. I did not picture my life to be what it is now.
But look at,
let alone a travel influencer. Nobody would have pegged me for that. But side tangent.
I feel like another thing to think about when you're in the Dominican Republic is the prices. They were quite a bit higher than I anticipated.
Well,
I remember
in the cities.
Yeah, that's true.
Not for like the activities were honestly fairly affordable.
But when I think of pricey, and I think of what am I going to have to spend money on every day if I am traveling here, and food was one thing that I thought was like, wow, this is almost
California
pricing. Prices. That was one thing that really surprised me about the Dominican Republic, which I think is why it's not higher up on our list. Is it obviously, yes, it had the beautiful views. The accommodations there were actually really amazing too. The service was fantastic. The culture there was really beautiful to see too.
There was one thing I did want to mention because it scarred me. We were staying in this really cool hotel called Hacienda Cocoyo, I think. And it had like these really cool bird nests, like super aesthetic. And we weren't working for the hotel per se, but that we were working with a tourism board and they put us up in that hotel. So we were getting some content there. And then one day we were at breakfast and I'm just like scrolling through the reviews on the hotel because a lot of them are like, yeah, super pretty hotel. So anyways, I was just reading all the reviews on like Yelp or TripAdvisor or something. And I got to some unhinged reviews. And like we had a great experience there. So I don't want to like speak on anyone else's behalf. But I read reviews because there's a ton of like stray animals, like stray dogs, stray cats. And I read a review that like some of the staff like jokingly like killed like these stray cats in front of them at breakfast.
Oh,
and
I
was
I
like, OMG, no, they didn't. If I ever saw that at a hotel, the way I would leave so fast. OMG. I cannot. I like don't know if that was actually a real review, but for some reason, some nagging, you know, feeling in me says that was a real review. And yeah, I think, I mean, there's a huge like overpopulation problem with dogs and animals out there, as with a lot of these areas in like Central America and the Caribbean. And honestly, even in Europe, like Greece has like a ton of cat mm-hmm. problems, and a lot of people will just go out and kill the animals.
I feel like
it's so sad.
That could be a whole different thing though. But I feel like especially Americans, we just talk and treat animals very differently than a lot of places. Everyone treats animals and cows and mules like they're work animals. They use them for profit and such. But I feel like in the US, like everyone's like, no, cows are my pets. And like, oh, they treat dogs like everywhere else in the world. Dogs don't have to be unleashed. They just run and come and go
and
as they
come
want.
Home. Yeah.
It's just very different compared to like here. I tell G all the time, I don't understand why this people post these type of crazy Instagram reels or TikToks where they're like, I just want to stay home and be with my dog all day. And like, you don't want to go out. I just don't relate to them very much because we like go in places and not just be an antisocial home. But anyway.
Was that relevant? Side tangent.
That's where I like see
Steven's brain was going. Anywho. So yeah, the hotels were really cool. But the hotels were like decently priced. Like, I thought for accommodation, it wasn't too crazy. It was just mainly the food.
Yeah, the food was definitely more
and
expensive.
And then the excursions, too. What was really interesting is, like, they don't really pay their employees a lot, is what we found out. Like, we went on a really crazy, cool sailing excursion out to Los Hayticas National Park. And it really felt like that one really famous, like, bubble-looking national park in Thailand, right? That's
yeah,
what it was.
Yeah, what all the Avatar video movies were made off of with, like, the sky islands. That's what it felt like, I feel like, in the Dominican Republic.
Yeah, and we were out there, and we made sure to tip, like, well out there because a lot of the activity fees don't go to the employees, and they, like, pay them a very small wage. So that was something, honestly, across all the countries. I know in Jamaica, like, the average what's it called? The average, like, it's not minimum wage, like, hourly rate was, like, the equivalent of, hello, Karen, was the equivalent of $2 an hour. So
yeah, it was insane.
Very different standard of living out in these places. So just be mindful when you're going to these places on how you can contribute to the local economy instead of just, like, the all-inclusive resorts.
Yeah. All right. So does that take us into the last two? Are we going Aruba next, or are we going Mexican Riviera? I feel like this is a very hard one.
I loved both of these places. Now, the only reason I'm going to say the next one is because of the weather we had. And so we'll go with Aruba.
Ooh, okay.
As number two, because we were there during a tropical storm, which never happens in Aruba, apparently. They always say, like, it's always a dry island, like 95% of the year. Like, you'll get a lot of wind. It's a windy island, but it's not, like, where you're going to be in a hurricane. Like, they're outside of the hurricane belt, so they don't get hit like a ton of these other islands in the Caribbean do. But of course, if you guys follow along in our luck, we get all the great weather. And so the one week we were there, we were fleeing a hurricane in California. That was the weekend of the hurricane in California. And so we left a day early, so we ended up staying an extra day in Aruba. And we flew from one crazy storm to the next. So we only had like a day and a half of sunshine there. And that's when we had to like go for all of our content because we had a lot of deliverables for that and the weather wasn't really cooperating. But we left the hotel we were at, the Divian Tamarind. That was really nice. And it was another all-inclusive, and that was actually like probably one of our favorite all-inclusives we ever stayed at.
Yeah, I feel like we have a lot of really good things to say about Aruba. There was tons of stuff to do all over the place. And the great thing about Aruba is you can drive to anywhere on the entire island within one day. So
within an hour, like you can like get to the opposite side of the island in an hour. It's super small.
I was thinking like day trip wise, if you went to like the national park and wanted to do like a day trip, it wouldn't be like you need to drive over there, stay over there to experience it. You can drive there, spend like a good half day there and drive back. Like everywhere you can visit. And there's so many underrated places. Like what we were saying about the Dominican Republic, we felt like we were the only people in some of these beaches and amazing water holes that there. It was just absolutely stunning with the blue water, the white sand beaches.
The sunsets out there were pretty crazy. Yeah, we had like this restaurant we went to. I forget what it was called. We were like sitting on the beach. The water is like on your feet, and all the food in Aruba was fantastic. That was another reason I ranked it higher, I think.
I think it I think it has the second best food because of the number one place. But
I
think Aruba definitely had amazing food. It felt like
fresh fish.
Yeah,
it was
fine
like
fine dining,
vegetarian and like gluten free. Like it felt like California in the sense of they had a lot of dining options. But I don't know. I feel like we love Mexican food, so like that is probably a biased thing for why we're ranking Mexico first. But in terms of actual like straight Caribbean, like Aruba's food was definitely the best. It had a lot of Peruvian influence. Like we went to quite a few restaurants
right next
that had
to, is Venezuela, correct?
Yeah. It had a lot of like South American influence, but we went to a ton of really great restaurants and it was phenomenal. Like we were on a second honeymoon campaign with them. And so like they sent us to a ton of really great spots. And honestly, I thought it'd be more expensive.
Yeah, I feel like the food in Aruba was the most expensive out of everywhere in the Caribbean, but it wasn't like as expensive as somewhere like California.
Yeah,
but
I agree.
When we went out to dinner, it was still like $40 to $50 for like if we got one appetizer, we both got a main dish and then maybe some dessert.
How we like to do it is we'll split an app and split a dessert and then we'll get separate entrees, or we each get an appetizer, we share an entree, and then we'll split a dessert.
Yeah, I feel like it depends on how expensive the places are. If we go to Mexico, like we can both eat everything that we want. If we go to the Bahamas, we can both eat everything we want because the prices are so cheap there compared to some of these other places. But I feel like the next thing to talk about in Aruba was like the culture and the people there.
Everyone there was so nice. Like I think besides Jordan, had the most nice people out of anywhere we've ever traveled, like the most hospitable people
in our experience.
Yeah, and like I honestly felt like that way in most of the Middle East, but in terms of this area, I think it was the nicest people, it felt the most safe out of all of these countries.
Hands
for
down,
sure
the most safe.
Like you can walk around at night and not feel sussed out at all, and like it was super well lit. Like there were readily available, there we go, brain fart, readily available taxis, super easy to drive around. So I felt like from all aspects of safety, like super safe.
Yeah, and I mean, usually it's like you go to the touristy areas, right? And that's where all like the well-known, very fine dining is. But even we went to a few of the local spots in Aruba where it was kind of out in the middle of nowhere. You could tell there was no hotels or no other tourists there. And eating there and just interacting with everyone was so sweet. It wasn't like, oh, why are you here in the local part of Aruba?
Yeah.
Everyone was just
super welcoming,
very open. And obviously you can tell that tourism drives a lot of the traffic there. They're also one of the most visited places in the Caribbean. But
and one of the, I honestly think if I was going to give out like honeymoon recommendations, I would say that's one of the top honeymoon places I would recommend.
Definitely.
But we also went out with a local guide named Ross. He was awesome. And if you guys are thinking of going to Aruba, let us know and we'll give you his contact information because they were awesome.
We have a whole YouTube video dedicated to like, here's the itineraries, here's the tips, here's everything that you need to know before you go to Aruba. So if you guys are planning on going there, would highly recommend watching
checking
that because we go through everything from tipping culture to what places to go, things to plan in advance and stuff. And this all being said, like Giselle said earlier, we had the worst possible weather
and
there,
we still did a lot
and we still absolutely loved it.
But the nice thing about the bad weather is we did a full day of like scuba diving, for example, and even though it's pouring rain outside, it didn't affect our visibility at all. We did these two crazy shipwreck dives down to like 130 feet, which you do have to be an advanced diver to do that particular one, but they do have other dives for people that have their beginner cert. But the scuba diving was great out there, the snorkeling even with the rain and stuff, like still nice. And yeah, there was just a ton to do. The national park was really cool, the beaches were beautiful, everyone was nice. So like I would give that like 8.5 out of 10.
I would go as far as 9. Anytime someone DMs us and is like, hey, I'm thinking about going to the Caribbean, it's between the Dominican Republic and Aruba or Bahamas. I always say
Aruba.
Like, you should go to Aruba.
Yeah. And that will lead us into our number one, which is the Mexican Caribbean.
And can I just say, I planned the mini moon surprise for this. So if you didn't know, Giselle and me got married. Woohoo. And directly after our wedding, I had a Taekwondo tournament. So we couldn't go on like a proper honeymoon directly after, as well as when we wanted to do French Polynesia, which was our actual quote unquote honeymoon, we went in October. So since we got married in July, I was like, no, we still need to do something that's like, call it the mini moon, a little bit lower budget, a little bit more fun. And I got to pick the destination.
We each got to plan a honeymoon.
And can I just say, Look at which spot is number one on our Caribbean.
Who got
list.
The pilot episode of season 3, French Polynesia?
Okay, well. Anyway,
can you tell we're competitive?
We absolutely love Mexico. If you've ever watched any of our Instagram reels or TikToks, we always have it in like our top 5 countries we visit for food and culture and such.
And the people.
This was our first time on the Mexican Riviera side, not the opposite side where Puerto Vallarta and all of that stuff is on Baja side. So visiting the 3 different places we went was Tulum, Playa del Carmen, and Cancun. And honestly, you can't go wrong with any of these. It really just depends on the vibe you're going for. So I think culture is one of the things that we should talk about first in Mexico. Everyone in Mexico is so nice and so exciting and has so many recommendations and stuff. I feel like the culture there is so much fun to be a part of.
They might try and sell you on a lot of stuff. As long as you know that going in advance, you're totally fine.
Yeah, very true.
Basically what we did in this region was a lot of cenotes. We did a lot of scuba diving, a lot of hikes in like national parks and things like that. But it was more a mix of relaxing and things to do, which is honestly very similar to what we did in Aruba, like a very nice 50-50 mix because it was our mini moon. So we started in Cancun, and that was literally just us staying at the resort and like relaxing on the beach. The beach, the water was just, it's not like Bora Bora blue. It's like a clear, it looked like a clear aqua.
Yeah, I would definitely say it's not as blue. It's like in between the turquoise and the blue water that you would expect at a lot of these places.
And it was super warm and really nice. You do have to know that they have this thing called sargassa, which is like seaweed season. So playing around that. We went during July and it was sargassa season, but it wasn't that bad. The hotels actually come and like have trucks that'll
bulldoze
it out of the way for you. But it's not bad in the morning. It usually just piles up in the afternoon. So we did a lot of our beach stuff in the morning.
And there's so much to do there. I feel like if you were going on a honeymoon and you just wanted to stay at the resort and enjoy all of the accommodations and food and lounge on the beach, I would recommend out of the locations we went to going to Cancun.
Yeah.
Because there's so many big, beautiful hotels that are built for making it very comfortable, lots of air conditioning and such.
Lots of nightlife, lots of dining.
Whereas like Playa del Carmen and Tulum, I feel like if you wanted to do stuff and go out of the resort, that's where I would recommend going because there's a lot more boutique hotels. There's a lot more adventures out to like the island off the coast, Cozumel, or you could head over to, it's not Tikal. What is the big Mayan ruins out there?
Chichen Itza.
Yeah, you can go out.
One of the seven wonders.
Yeah, exactly. So there's so much to do out there. I feel like one thing that was the downside of it was safety. So that is one thing you have to worry about a little bit.
We felt safe. The only time we felt unsafe was when we were in Playa del Carmen and we were coming home from a restaurant called Alex, right?
Yeah, it was a very fancy restaurant.
The coolest thing, it was a fancy restaurant inside a cenote. And so like there's like bats flying around. And it's a really cool gourmet restaurant. Like the food in Playa del Carmen, so good. We only stuck to the food at the all-inclusive in Cancun. But honestly, that was some of the best all-inclusive food that we've had. We stayed at Secrets of the Vine. And then in Playa, we stayed at the Hilton, which was okay compared to Secrets of Mine.
It was an average place.
I feel like next time we go back, we'll do more like boutique hotels. But in Playa, yeah, that was the only time. It was like nighttime and we didn't feel amazingly safe because it was kind of out of the way and not in the touristy center. So we just took a cab home. But, you know, just listen to your gut if you don't feel safe, whatever. I mean, we never had any issues in Mexico. Just, you know, don't become a member of the cartel.
Like it was a few months after we went though, Dalton went and he got scammed for a bunch of money and like
parking ticket.
Yeah. He texted me and he's like, bro, I just got done with the most intricate scam. I feel like maybe it's not dangerous, like safety wise, but there are a lot of scammers who are like fake cops that'll pull you over. And people always ask us because online it says don't rent a car in Cancun.
Yeah.
Like it's very dangerous to drive anywhere near Tulum.
It's literally not.
We rented a car, which it was a little bit difficult because in order to rent a car, you have to buy the Mexican car insurance.
Which is such a weird thing. Like
really
I
funky.
Thought it, I do all the research on the scams because I am such a not fallen for that kind of girl, you know? And so I was like, no, I don't want the insurance. My Amex card covers insurance. I have car insurance, whatever. And then I like looked it up.
And it was legit.
And it was legit. You do need the Mexican car insurance because if something happens, you can go to jail if you don't get it.
Yeah. But so, I mean, I think it's so funny because you can rent a car in Mexico for like $40 or $50 a day and the insurance is like
$40
$30 to $40. So you're
it's
like,
so lame.
What?
But you know what? I'd rather in that case, because the people out there do drive crazy, I think it's worth it also. So they don't nickel and dime you for like a scratch that you might not have left. It's just, it's worth it to get it.
Yeah.
But yeah, we didn't have any issues with scams or anything like that, but we do our research. I look up every common scam in every place we go to, especially if it's in more of like a not first world country, and then make sure we don't do anything. Like I knew in advance, like if you're going to a gas station, for example, and you're paying in cash, like count out the bills while you are handing them the money. So they're not gonna like pocket one and say, oh, you gave me a 50, you're supposed to give me a 500.
Yeah,
you know,
I feel like a lot of it happens when you're out drinking at night, you've had three or four drinks. That's where a lot of the scams
but
come.
What happened from Dalton?
He was driving and there was like a part, I don't know all the details or how much money he lost, but there was like four or five people involved in it, and it was something to do with they pulled him over, he was getting a ticket or something. They told him that he needed to do this, and then it was completely made up. It was like a very thoughtful,
elaborate scam.
Yeah. So I mean, once again, there's going to be scams everywhere. It's just about the experience. You can come to LA and get scammed, and it can be very dangerous there compared to traveling to Mexico.
It's like going to Hollywood Walk of Fame and they are like, come take a picture. And you're like, sure. And they're like, $20 now.
I know, it's a fat Spider-Man. Like, okay, look at me in my Halloween costume. I bought that. It's just ridiculous.
Yeah. But yeah, we loved that whole area of Mexico. We did the cenotes are just incredible. We did our advanced scuba diving, a lot of shipwreck dives. We did Chichen Itza. We did a lot of beaches. We went swimming with whale sharks
Isla
Mujeres. That was really awesome. That's also a seasonal thing. But yeah, there's a lot to do for that one. We don't have a YouTube video, but I do have a full blog. If you guys want our exact itinerary, you can go on theloverspassport.com and go look up the Cancun and Tulum itinerary, and we'll have everything we did there. So yeah.
But those are our main recommendations for the Caribbean. Obviously, maybe in another year or two when we've visited most of the Caribbean or a lot more of these, we'll have some different opinions. But as of right now, I feel like that's where it is. To be fair, though, and to give you a reminder, you do want to make sure you travel here sometime during the winter, I think, is the best time to travel. So from like October to like March or April, because during the summer, if you get hot, let me tell you, it gets so hot.
He's just
hot
sticky
and humid
the whole
here.
Time.
We went to this one restaurant in Mexico during July, and it was a taco shop. It was open
oh
doors.
My gosh.
So we walk into this taco shop.
And it's like a very local place. Like no one speaks English there. Like it's just, they're cooking, it's hot. There's no AC, no nothing.
But when they're cooking, they cook with fires going out. So you feel the heat, and it's in a brick room. So the heat really stays in there. So we order, and I'm sitting there, and I literally am just dripping.
He had to take the napkins and like dab himself.
I was embarrassed. I'm like, we're on our mini moon right now with the love of my life and my wife, and I'm sitting here just dripping. You could see the beads of sweat. It looked like I had just gone swimming.
You know what? I knew you were a sweaty boy when I married you.
You know what she bought me for Christmas? She bought me rags,
microfiber rags to put around your neck when we're traveling.
It does help cool you down though, because you can wet them, put them around your neck, and it cools you down a lot. But
they were specific cooling ones. It was a stocking stuffer. It was not his only present.
No,
he got a full trip to go see the hot springs in Idaho, which he's failing to mention.
Well, I'm just saying that was one of the things that I got for Christmas. But anyway, to be fair, it will be really hot. So if you're looking to do a lot of the adventures that we're recommending in any of these countries, we would recommend going during the on season.
But also look at when rainy and dry season is, because this area in the world does get a ton of hurricanes and tropical storms. So try and plan your trip in the dry season, because otherwise you're going to be stuck in an all-inclusive hotel in the eye of a hurricane.
Did
we do an episode on that?
I don't remember.
We did Helene's episode back in season one, I think, while we were bracing down for a hurricane in this hotel. It was the craziest. I've never been in a hurricane. And of course, that time we were in the eye of a category 4 hurricane. It was
that
crazy.
Was on the to be fair, that was not
that was
the
not in the Caribbean.
That
was, in
Mexico.
Puerto
Vallarta, where I guess
no, it was in Punta Mita,
which is directly next to Puerto Vallarta.
But yeah, wild times, wild weather. What's new?
Yeah. But anyway, that is going to be wrapping up this episode. I think what we're going to plan on doing is mixing in like a 2 weeks of travel, maybe 1 week of content creator talk, because we got so many DMs from last week's episode on content creation and our workflow and such. And we have get quite a bit of stuff as well on travel. So let us know. Shoot us a DM on Unfiltered Adventures on Instagram, or just drop a comment here if you guys are watching on YouTube. If you guys are listening in on Apple Podcasts or on Spotify, don't forget to give us a 5-star review. That is the best way that you can help support this podcast so we continue to make all of the episodes that we have coming out this year. And if you guys think someone might be interested in this episode with getting ready to go to the Caribbean, or if they're not sure where to go, make sure to share this with at least one person, or share it to your story and tag Unfiltered Adventures. That would be the best possible way you can help us.
Karen is saying she's done with this episode.
She said it is time to take her for a walk. Anyway, thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you next Friday with another episode of Unfiltered Adventures.
Bye.